Welcome to the Product Podcast, brought to you by Product School, the podcast where you get fresh insight from leaders at top tech companies and startups. Remember, you can learn product management in person at our 15 campuses worldwide or study with us online. Visit productschool.com to learn more about our courses. You can also hang out with the leaders from these podcasts at our hundreds of annual events and catch us at ProductCon, the world's largest PM conference that takes place every year across the United States and in London.
It's important that you understand what product management is, and I'll get into it. Because when I started, and I started like 4 years back, when I was doing my MBA, I was an engineering manager at a services company, and I was doing my MBA, and there they will ask you quite frequently, what do you want to be in 5 years or 10 years? And when I pictured myself in my current role, I just didn't find that exciting. And that's when I started looking at, okay, with my current skills and the MBA degree that I'm getting, where can I go next? Consulting was one option. But that would have required, I had a young family, that would have required a lot of travel. Then I started considering product management at that point. But I wasn't ready at that point. And there were a lot of learnings in that 3-4 years that I had. I want to make sure that you guys get it through these slides. All right. So from outside, how does product management look like? To my friends, if I say I'm doing product management and they live in New York City and work for a financial company, they think that I'm the one who's shipping the products from Amazon to their homes, right? My mom, when I explain it to her what I do now, she thinks I'm building iPhone every day, right? Whereas in general, when I just explain my role to people, they think that I suit up, go to office, have PowerPoint up, give instructions to people, go do this, go do that, and I just sit and relax. So that's how it looks from outside, but the reality is very much different. And there's another side of it, right? If you just focus on how market is perceiving product management role, it's a very in-demand role. And as I'm going through the slides, you will realize why. Just on Seattle market, average salary is whatever is around 100,000. For product management, just on the base salary, it's 60% higher in this market. And then you have other perks like equity bonus, signing bonus, and so on. So market is also perceiving this role as a very important role, right? And then I saw this when I was trying to pivot, right? I saw this. I was like, okay, this is what product management is, right? I have technology. I am doing my MBA, and I was doing it from a very good school. So I felt, okay, I have a pretty good business knowledge. I was also doing business development then. All I need to do is get UX skills, and you know, I can become a PM, right? So, and that's how I pretty much started. And I think I made a mistake there. So my story, it wasn't easy after that point. And there are 5 learnings I'm going to share with you. That I learned, hopefully that will help you. Number one is, when you say product manager role, when you're looking for product manager role, or when you're trying to pivot to a product manager role, there isn't one role in the industry. There are multiple product manager roles. There's a growth PM, who's typically focused on increasing retention and conversion on a B2C product or a B2B product. That's a completely different role. Then there's a business PM, like, you know, if you look up Amazon and you look for product management roles, you will see 2 kind of product manager roles there, non-tech PMs and tech PMs. The non-tech PMs are generally the business PMs who take generally, you know, ideas from conception to launch. So the challenges for them could be is, hey, we want to take this market, this product to a new market. How will you build this product? They will go do all the research and build the strategy around it, right? So that's the business PM role. There's a technical / platform PM role. These are the guys who then, whenever a business guy comes up with this idea, okay, we have to go build this product, These are the guys who then work with the engineering team to make this that product into reality. There's an AI ML PM. So if you're applying to Google and Google has a search PM role, that's the AI ML PM. You know, you should have a good intuition on data. You should have some background on AI ML data science to be able to be successful in that role. Then there is PM on internal tools. If you're in Expedia, there are PMs on business intelligence, right? Analytics. There are PMs on Salesforce, Workday. Then we have B2B and B2C PMs. Like, these are the guys who are, again, like from UX design perspective, like in Expedia, you have a lot of these B2C PMs who just creates, who looks into what customer wants from their product, what kind of A/B test that they can do to just increase the conversion slightly, and they are kind of measured by how many A/B tests that they did in a year and how much conversion have they improved in a year. So what I'm trying to tell you here is it's not just one PM role in the market. There are six or, in fact, more. It is evolving. So you will see combination of these roles clubbed into one role in some cases. And if you do not know this, you just go and look for a PM role. You know, you might just be hunting in the dark. And that is what my problem was. When I started, I gave a interview with Facebook on growth PM role. They were kind enough to give me a chance. I flunked. Growth PM role requires marketing experience as well. So creative and quantitative skills are required for growth PM roles. Later on, I interviewed for business PM role with Amazon. I flunked again because there were questions that I couldn't answer very well. So I was kind of shooting in the dark at that point. If I knew where I fit, I should have targeted where I was coming from. I was coming from technical background. I should have targeted technical platform PM roles. That was not my end goal, but that could have been the starting point for me. The second one, the biggest learning that I had was the earlier slide that you saw where you had three circles, UX, tech, and business, and the you know where it coincides is where PM sits. The way I read it is, okay, I have the technical skills. I was getting an MBA, and if I just get UX skills, I'm going to become a PM, right? But I don't think it's very well defined, that circles, right? A PM works with every single function in the company. So a PM needs to work with marketing because you need to product market your product, right? So you need to understand how you're going to, once you build the product or while you're building the product, how you will market it with the product marketing team. A PM needs to work with salespeople to help them understand how they can sell the product, right? So PM needs to also understand the finance side of the product, how much you're building, the ROI of the product, how much cost it is going into it, how much revenue you... So you need to be able to do some kind of forecasting. So to be able to know what is the ROI of building that product. UX and design side is, of course, there. And technology, you are working with your technology teams to build the product. So PM is a high leverage function that works across each of these, each function in the company. So think about a PM role like that. Learning three, and this is something that I kind of learned from different interviews that I was giving. I was fortunate enough to get calls from most of the big companies. But then the kind of problems that they would ask you to solve in the interviews were very different. And because in PM role, essentially, now I know this because I'm doing it day in, day out, you are solving very loosely defined and very complex problems on a day-to-day basis. In my current role, one of the initial asks was, we have a key data element and we needed to put a ROI on it. I didn't have any insight from the market because no competitor publishes it. You're putting a price, when you do a pricing strategy, there are only three components that you have. You do cost-based pricing, you do competitor-based pricing, or you do substitute-based pricing. So cost-based pricing is if you know how much cost it took to build that product, you put a markup on it and then say, okay, this is the price of this product. Competitor-based pricing is if you know, for example, when Kindle was being launched, Amazon knew how much iPad was, price was, and it also knew how much Galaxy Notes were priced at, and they wanted to come at a value play, so they priced it the way they did, right? Which was lower than $199 Galaxy Notes. So what I'm trying to tell you is, you will be faced with very complex problems, even in interviews, and you need to know these frameworks so that you can solve those problems. So if you guys are pivoting into PM roles, right? It's not like you're starting from, you're not a fresher. You're not hired from your schools. So there will be certain level of expectations when you go in front of any interview. And there are frameworks to solve these problems. There are multiple frameworks that is available that product managers use on a day-to-day basis. You should get familiar with it. And I didn't know all this when I was trying to pivot into PM roles. Yeah, the fourth one, kind of the most important one. You know, product management is not something that you just go to a course and you learn and you're done, right? It's kind of a habit that you need to, you need to cultivate. Like you should be thinking about, as a product manager, you should be thinking all the time. Like for example, if you saw a product, an app that you liked, what is it that you like about the product? Right? Is it my demography that was being targeted by this product? What is that particular feature that I liked about the product? Like for example, I've been using MealPal. I really like that product. What I like about it, I work in Seattle downtown, and during lunchtime, I have to go get food. Food is expensive in downtown, like $12, $15. MealPal gives me a 12 meal deal for something like $70, which is much cheaper if I do the math, right? That's one. And two is I can reserve, and the side benefit that I get is I also get to walk a little bit during my lunchtime. I like MealPal. I'm thinking about MealPal, which feature of MealPal is really attractive to me. And that is how the product manager also thought about it, right? When he was building the product, he was targeting my demography, and he knew he could do enough research to know what is dear to me, and then he built those features in the product. That's how the product managers think. When you get into tech interviews or product interviews, there will be questions like, which product do you like? Let's say you say iPhone. They'll say, okay, tell me three features on iPhone that you can improve. If you're not thinking about the product, you never thought about that problem before. So that question all of a sudden will come from the left and you'll be like, I don't know, right? So that's important if you're trying to pivot into product management. Fifth thing is I was coming from an industry where, I had direct, people directly reported to me, right? So it was easier for you to get things done. I was responsible to do X things, and I had certain number of people, and I can ask those people to get that X things done. When you move into product management, no one reports into you, unless you're in a senior product manager or a group product manager. A product manager, the highest leveraged function in the company, but no one reports into you. You are in the middle of, you're building the most strategic product for the company, and you need to use influence, you need to use your emotional intelligence skills to get things done. And this is something, in the interviews you will get questions like, how do you do conflict resolution? What was your toughest conversation that you had recently? You can, of course, know those questions, answer those questions. But when you start your PM job, you will feel it on day one. Because you have engineers. They don't report into you. You need to get work done through them. Then you have a marketing team. They don't report into you. You need to work with them. Then you have sales team. They don't report into you. You need to work with them. And you're trying to be the biggest advocate of the product that you're building within the company. And all of that has to be done through influence. You cannot force your decision on someone. And inherently, the way this function is built, you will end up building a good product because everybody needs to be convinced that this is a good product. Sounds good? Make sense? This all might think like a lot, seems like a lot, right? Well, a product manager doesn't have, I need to build my emotional intelligence. I need to learn all these frameworks. I need to think like a product manager all the time. But there is a method to get there, which when I was pivoting, I did not have it. But I kind of built it over the period of time. And next few slides, I want to go over that. But so far, any questions from you guys? I mean, are you guys in your pivoting period right now? Are you familiar with some of these problems? Does it make sense to you? Can you relate to it? Okay, so let's get to the good part. So how do we pivot into product management? First thing is, identify which PM role is suitable for you. Do you want to be a growth PM? If you want to be a growth PM, you better be good at quants. The growth PM role, you know, started by, I'm trying to remember his name. He was at Facebook. He brought in this whole investment management culture to Silicon Valley. And his whole idea was when a product is being successful, you should be able to map out how it is becoming successful, right? You should be able to map out the entire end-to-end, how people are coming to your website, through which channels, when they are on your page, what they like, what they don't like. If they like something, are they doing the action that you want them to do? Once they perform that action, is that resulting in, you know, some kind of revenue for you? So he built this entire model, and the idea was once you understand which part of that chain is not working, then you can take some creative action to improve on it. So that's the growth PM. So you kind of require the quant skills and marketing skills to be successful in that role. So you know, if you are in that path to pivot into that, understand where do you fit. If you're in a business PM role, if you're a strategic thinker, you have been a business project manager before, I think you have seen those problems. And maybe you have a business degree. That's a good fit for you, business product manager. Technical PM, if you come from a technical background, you've been an engineer before, you think easily about technical problems, how systems connect with each other, technical PM could be a good fit for you. AI ML PM, if you're easy with data, you can just, you're able to get insight from data, you can easily extract insight from data and take customer problem and be able to then transfer into some kind of ML related work. Maybe if I build an algorithm on this data, I can separate certain behavior and that will help inform this product, right? That then AI ML PM could be a good fit for you. Designer PM, someone asked if you have a UX background. If you know what customer like on a page, designer PM could be a good fit for you. Internal tools PM, this is, if you're coming from technical background, a lot of internal tools PM are on the technical side. PM on the product manager, on the business intelligence, product manager on Salesforce, and so on and so forth. So that might be an easier way for you to switch over or to pivot into PM roles. The mistake I made, Don't make that mistake, because I interviewed, first interview I did was with Facebook, growth PM, flunked. Second interview I did was with Amazon Business PM, flunked. Then I did a lot of other mistakes. Then I did the final, after I did some courses, I did the designer PM. I actually went into technical PM track. And then from there, I went into designer PM track at Expedia. And then from there, I moved to business PM track. That was my ultimate goal. But it just took me too many hops to get there. This is the part that I was talking about earlier. Once you know which PM path you want to go into, research that role. You can, there are examples in the previous slide, like where you can find those roles. If you're looking for business PM, Amazon business PM, if you're looking for technical PM, Amazon technical PM, if you're looking for AIML PM, look for Google search PM roles. If you're looking for growth, Facebook growth marketing managers, internal tools PM, look for, you know, senior product manager business intelligence at Expedia. I saw there was a posting there. And if you're looking for UX design PM roles, Facebook PM roles, Expedia PM roles are like that. So go through the job description, and this will help you understand what skills do you have, what skills do you need to grow for that role. Connect with the PMs inside that organization, because right now, in some companies, some of these roles converge. So for example, from the business PM itself, they will expect technical PM role as well. So do connect with the PMs inside that company. I mean, LinkedIn them, and you know, get them for a coffee, or maybe connect through some of these ML meetups or PM meetups. Ask them what they do day to day. And through that, you can find out, is that the path that I want to get into? Review your resume, list out gaps, and start. If you want to get into PM, you need to invest time in that. Watch out for the releases that Amazon does, Google does, Facebook does. What are they releasing? Then there are immediate reviews that come. Strategy is a very good blog. There are multiple such blogs where you can go and see. They really critique their releases very well. So you will know what features is being used a lot, what features is not hitting the mark, and what failed, why it has failed. This will inform your product sense about that particular product release. Once you have gone through the job descriptions, once you have looked at the your own resume, you will have a pretty good idea of what skills you have and what skills you need to acquire. These are the hard skills. You need PM frameworks. I kind of touched upon it, but what I had was just few of them. There are many more, and you should know most of them. UX skills. I think UX skills you pretty much need for any kind of product management role that you want to do. Because, you know, most of the product that is being built is tech products, right? The interface is through UX. So you need to know how your UX should look like. Even though you have a designer, you need to provide the inputs in terms of, you know, I spoke to the customer, this is how customer perceives it. And you can give the directions to the UX designer so that he can do his job correctly. Analytical skills, definitely needed. I'm just trying to think if in any of these roles you will not need it. I think you need it for all the PM roles. To the extent to which you want to go into it, it's different. Like you have tools like Google Analytics, Adobe Analytics. They already provide you the reports or tags, and there are teams to support you with that. So for example, let's say if you are a UX design PM, you had an A-B test release. You want to know how your A-B test is performing. And I mean, typically what happens in A/B test world is when you release something, the conversion spikes, and then slowly it drops down. And what you want to learn from it is, you know, certain outliers which will actually not should not drop down to that level, and that will inform your next A/B release. Like, if, let's say, for example, you made certain UI change, right? You introduced a new icon, and for that, the A/B test gave you a better result. So you kind of sense that, okay, this kind of icon is resonating well from with my customer. So whenever I do my next release, I want to use a similar kind of iconography, right? So, so yeah, I mean, analytical skills you kind of need for any product management role that you want to get into. Design thinking, AI ML skills, if you are getting into that kind of role, you need to build on that. Growth hacking skills. This is kind of growth hacking skills. I would say even the UX design PM should develop it, because your A/B tests that you are building, or any test that you are building, if you have that skill, you will be better informed in what kind of test you want to conduct, because in that role you will be forced to conduct many A/B tests, because that's how they kind of, you know, you're from Expedia, right? We had 80 tests in a year that we needed to get to. And I know sometimes we are not very judicious on what we should be testing. But if you have those growth hacking skills, it just helps in doing better tests. Soft skills, public speaking. So like standing here and talking to people, you have to do it as a product manager. And it just grows as you grow in that function. Negotiation skills, you're always negotiating, because you need more emotional intelligence, and no one reports into you. You're kind of influencing people, so you're always negotiating with them. Conflict management always happens, especially at the time of release. So, you know, tech team will say something, design team will say something else. How do you converge them together? Leading with authority, teamwork, ability to take feedback. That's one of the understated ones, but it's very helpful for a product manager to be open to ideas. Like, for example, you're trying to launch a product, you go to a customer gave you certain feedback, you perceived it in a particular way, but let's say you have someone else who was tagging along with you and, you know, he has his own perspective. You should be able to at least take the feedback and, you know, be able to, you know, see whether that is adding any value to the product or not. You shouldn't be like, okay, now I know everything because I spoke to the customer. Prioritization, that's an important part of product management, because, you know, you get conflicting priorities all the time. So that's one soft skill that you want to develop. Time management, I mentioned earlier, product management is a very high leverage function. So you'll be pulled in all directions once you get into that role. And what, you know, how you manage your time, how you prioritize your time, it will be super important for you. So the hard skills and soft skills that you want to build on. Any questions? There are courses for that. If you're interested, we can chat about it. But it is what it means is that's typically what growth managers do, right? So let's say Facebook, they are trying to always, you know, maintain their daily active user growth. How do they do it? Let's say in a certain country, they see the, you know, daily active user dropping. So what channels through which they can continue to influence you? Maybe they can add some kind of news item or something that will bring you back to the product, right? Or they will do more notifications. As you can see, Facebook continues to do more notifications to bring you back to the platform. So growth hackers they have particular metrics in mind, and they are trying to do within their limits how they can bring you back to the platform so that you can transact more. Let's go to step 4. research interview loops and prepare your resume. No two companies have the same kind of interview loop. And you will realize it. You may have realized it already. Like, for example, Facebook has product design and execution, product sense and execution in the telephonic round, whereas Google has a product design round, just one design round, which is similar to, and they kind of club it. They kind of club the sense. So product sense is the design thinking aspect of it, and execution is now they want to really see how will you execute. They'll give you a problem from their current problem that they are facing, and they want to see how you're going to respond to it. So it's important that you know, if you're interviewing with some company, how their interview loop looks like. What will be the first round? What will be the second round? What will be the, once you pass through the telephonic, how it will be for you guys in the in-person rounds? How many rounds? That is also important to know, because the in-person rounds could be very exhaustive. It starts at 9 a.m., finishes at 3 p.m. So yeah, know your company, research the company before you go there. Glassdoor is a pretty good place to go search for interview tips and questions. I wouldn't rely on the answers there, because yeah. But there are good books that you can support with, that they can support you with preparing for these interviews, right? Decode and Conquer is one of the product manager interview is another one. Lean Analytics is a good resource. So these resources are there to help you prepare for the interviews. And finally, go through the grind. It's not going to be easy. I don't want to sugarcoat it for you. Especially if you're trying for big companies, big tech companies, if that is what your target is. Because each one of them have their own cookie cutter idea of a product manager. And they would want to see whether you fit in their role or not, right? Because they get hundreds of resumes for one position, or maybe more, thousands. But that will help you learn. Each interview that you give, it'll teach you something about you, that if you really are interested in that role, what you need to improve. If you are in most of the companies, especially with Amazon, if you are good enough in telephonic rounds, they don't, you know, blacklist you or anything, so you can come back after preparing. Google, on the other hand, is a little tricky. So if you give an interview the at least 6 month schooling period, even in the telephonic round, so you want to. If you, let's say you're targeting Google, start somewhere with a company, you know, just to learn where you are. Don't go to Google directly. Start with somewhere else. Learn where you are, then build on top of it, and then finally attempt Google. And always have your product manager hat on. Think like a product manager. If you think like a product manager, that's how you can get into these companies. So that's something that you need to cultivate, and give it a try. It'll happen. Talk to your, you know, colleagues. If someone is actually, you know, some of your colleague is also trying to get in, pivoting to product management, just work with them, and say, hey, you know what? This Google question I saw. Let's try to solve it at the lunchtime. What do you think about this product? Like, for example, one of the questions Google asked me was, how do you design an elevator for Google? That's one question. And the next question was, okay, tell me how much money will Google make out of it? And when I gave the answer, they were like, why should Google get into it then? So think about those questions. This is how you can practice amongst yourself. And if you're aiming Google, and if you're preparing for Google, then maybe you're targeting somewhere not at the top 10 companies. That might be easier. Okay, so those were the recommendations I had. So So final slide I have is my pivoting story, how I went about doing this. I kind of gave you a brief idea into this already. From 2005 to 15, I was doing engineering, consulting, business development. Then I got into MBA, enrolled into MBA. And when people started asking where you want to be in 5 years from now, I wasn't happy with my own answers. So I was like, okay, I need to move. And where do I fit best? I want to be a product manager. So I moved into a tech PM role in my company, but my company wasn't really a product company. There were a services / consulting company. So the product role was very, I wasn't learning anything there. After I completed MBA, I did some UX courses offline, online, and I went through a rigorous round with Expedia after a few rejections before that. Before that, I was rejected with Facebook and Amazon. And that clicked. So I moved to Expedia as a senior PM on design side. But then I wasn't very happy with what I was doing. That was not my idea of product management. At that point, I didn't really know this separation between business PM, design PM, and all that. So I came to product school. I was like, okay, product school was starting here. Let's see what I can learn. Met with Uday, who was the instructor. Got some of these ideas that is forming now, even more clearly. In 2018 December, I joined as a business PM at White Pages. And now I'm happy with what I'm doing right now. But yeah, it took a while. It takes a while. That's it. That's me.
Thank you for listening to the Product Podcast. If you like this episode, don't forget to leave a review on iTunes. For more product insights, head over to productschool.com.